to some continuing encouraging news during this season of Advent. As you know, even though since Black Friday it's been Christmas for our culture in terms of all the selling that's been going on, we're still in the season of Advent technically, and Christmas actually isn't until this coming week. So since we're still in the season of Advent, I want to share an encouraging message with you about, in preparing for our Lord, what you and I have to celebrate. And that is the reality of being set free from our sins. I want to start with this message by sharing with you a story. In the Middle Ages, there was a blacksmith who was imprisoned for some crimes, and he was chained in order to prevent his escape. Since he had made chains, he began to examine his and look for any flaws so that he could escape from the bondage that he was in. Suddenly, he found on the chains some marks which proved that he had made the chains himself. He had always cherished his reputation of making flawless, unbreakable chains. He gave up any hope of getting free from those chains. What a time to be an expert chain maker, right? Now, you know, the funny thing about that story is, in light of what I'm about to share with you, I have come across a number of different people, and I think each one of us can fall into this camp in different ways, where they have been expert chain makers in their own lives and the different things that they go through and things that they struggle with and the different ways in which they have, if you will, chained themselves, left to themselves, they have no hope of escape. And so that's the good news that I have for you here today. The good news that we can celebrate here this last Sunday of Advent is that sometimes we put ourselves into chains. And in fact, again, I think each one of us in our lives, as we go through our lives, whether it's other people who initially put those chains on us or we put them on ourselves for whatever reason, we find that we cannot escape from them. As much as we would like, as much as we try, we are bound by those chains. And one of the aspects of those chains that I found in people's lives that seems to be pretty consistent is the chain of sin, the chain of repeating that sin, and ultimately the chain that comes from that of condemnation. You know, not only do we suffer from the reality of our own brokenness and darkness and sin in our lives, but then after we commit it, we end up condemning ourselves for it. And it's like adding insult to injury. And maybe you don't even have to do that. Somebody else will remind you of that, and they'll add the condemnation for you, right? You already know about the flaw, and that person in your life is more than willing to point it out to you as well. Self-condemnation, to condemn. To be condemned is to be declared guilty, disapproved of strongly, and then to inflict a penalty. In the case of our blacksmith who made perfect chains, he was unable to escape from those because he made them so well. And again, the same is true for so many of us. And maybe you, again, have, like so many human beings, received the message that you stand condemned, that you are hated or loved, that there's something about you that somebody doesn't really like, and maybe it's something that you don't really like about yourself. It could be a person. It could be somebody in the family. It could be a group. Or it could be simply something about yourself that you know about yourself that maybe nobody else sees, but you really don't like about yourself. Bless you. Churches are a great place to sneeze. But you see, when you're condemned on some level, you don't belong. You don't belong to the group that's around you. You don't belong to that person. And I think on some level, you don't belong to yourself. Because condemnation results in alienation. That's what happens. And not belonging means that you're not loved. And ultimately, we end up projecting those feelings not only onto other people, but really onto God himself. Brennan Manning writes in his book, Jesus, the Stranger to Self-Hatred, and he quotes the Jesuit Bernard Bush, "These feelings of condemnation come from within ourselves and are projected outward into the mind of God. We may find that we punish ourselves mercifully for real or imagined sin, and even then we will not forgive ourselves. Fortunately, Christ has revealed the real God to us in unmistakably human form, exposed projection for the idolatry that it is, and given us the way to become free from it. It takes a profound conversion to accept the belief that God is tender and loves us just as we are, not in spite of our sins and faults, but with them. God does not condone or sanction evil, but he does not withhold his love because there is evil in us. The key in this is to understand the way we feel about ourselves. We cannot even stand or accept love from another human being when we do not love ourselves, much less believe or accept that God could possibly love us." I think there's a very profound insight, and I think this is the prison. I think this is the chains that many human beings live in. You know, the reality that we will celebrate in just a little bit with Thomas, as Thomas is baptized. Yeah, he's smiling right now. Yeah, he's a happy kid. I always like meeting happy kids. Yeah. Thomas is excited right now because in a few moments he's going to be baptized. And one of the realities that all of us celebrate is that as Thomas is baptized, we believe in faith that as he is sprinkled with water, that not only is he physically being washed, but he's spiritually being washed from original sin. And as he is spiritually washed from original sin, his relationship with God is restored. And as his parents are before us here today, and his godparents as well, and they stand with him, they will affirm that they will raise Thomas in the Christian faith and life. They will raise him to begin to understand that he lives as someone who is deeply loved by God. As much as his parents and his grandparents and his family and his friends love Thomas, God loves him even more. God loves him more than anybody ever could. And the wonderful gift that we can celebrate with Thomas in his baptism today is that that is the gift that each one of us has received at baptism. The washing away of our sins, the cleansing of our conscience, the healing of our relationship with God, to the point that we can have a relationship with God that is rooted in love, not in hate. We can have a relationship with God that is rooted in trust, not in fear. We can have a relationship that is rooted with God in joy and hope, not in doubt about what tomorrow may bring. And so you see, this is really, really good news. And so let me just say to you here at this moment, and again, this is another profound insight from this priest. A lot of times we project how we feel about ourselves unto God, and we end up believing that's how God feels about us. Not true. God loves you. If you love yourself perfectly, then you're right. That's how God feels about you. But if there's any kind of self-hatred in there, if there's any kind of condemnation, he's having fun. I'm good with that. That's great. Yeah. If there's any kind of chaining that's in your life, God wants to set you free from that. God wants to release you from that bondage. God wants to bring you more deeply into his love. Because you see, condemnation and self-hatred keep love at a distance. It's just what happens. And as much as I might be able to say to you, I love you, and as much as God might be able to say to you, and he has, I love you, if you're busy condemning yourself and hating yourself, and hearing messages from other people around you that you're not lovable and you're not good and you're this horrible person and you're believing all of that, You may be surrounded by the reality of God's love, but you are not receiving the reality of God's love. And that makes all the difference in the world. You are still chained by a lie. And God wants to set you free from those chains. Shame is your jailer, and self-hatred keeps you chained. And so what's the answer to this? The more that you and I can enter into the fullness of what our baptism is, and what our baptism is a cleansing. It's a healing. It's a making right of our relationship with God and living into that, the better off we will be. And so that's the invitation for you and me. God said through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53, surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we come to our second lesson today in Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My question to you is this evening, are you in Christ? Are you the Lord's? Have you opened up your heart to him? Are you following him as your Lord and Savior? Are you yielded to the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you reading the word and praying each day? Are you confessing your sins? Then there should be no condemnation. Conviction of sin, yes. When you're convicted, confess your sin. Ask God for mercy and forgiveness. And then after that, there should be this huge smile on your face, just like Thomas. There should be joy in the house of your heart because you've been forgiven. It's been laid on him. That's why we have this cross in the middle of the church. It's a constant reminder of what he did for you and me. That's why there are all these nails here. It's a reminder. He was nailed to this cross for our sins, and he carried them, and he died for them, and he rose from the dead as a sign that he is the Messiah of the living God who died an atoning death for those sins, which means stop condemning yourself. Don't let anybody else condemn you. Don't let Satan condemn you. Do you know that when you fall and you commit a sin and you confess it, that there's that voice saying, ah, you blew it again, you blew it again, you're never going to amount to anything, and it keeps coming back to you. You know where that comes from? That's the devil. That's Satan. Don't let that devil get in your face. The best way to drive him out is just show him the cross. He hates the cross, and say, well, you know what? I am a sinner, but Satan, I have something to tell you. Jesus died for my sins. Give a big smile. Rejoice in that. Cast him out in the name of the Lord and rejoice in the mercy of the Lord. You know what? Some of you are so bound up in condemnation and self-hatred that you don't have enough time to enjoy your mercy and your freedom. You and I should be rejoicing as much in our forgiveness and in the love that God has for us as we are having a pity party for our sins. So in the name of balance, let me just say, however long you do your pity parties, however long you condemn yourself, or however long somebody else condemns you, however long you are beating yourself up about all the things you do wrong, I have an assignment for you. Spend as much time enjoying the mercy of God. Spend as much time smiling and celebrating in God's unconditional love for you. Spend as much time enjoying the Lord and having joy in his mercy of you. And as you begin to do that, guess what's happening? You're being set free from your chains. You're having fun like Thomas. You're smiling like Thomas and inheriting the kingdom of God like a little child. God wants to liberate us. Dance a jig when you're forgiven. When God sets you free, you may not feel like smiling when you've confessed your sins. I have another assignment for you. Smile. Smile. As bad as it was, as dark as it was, as bad as you feel about it, smile. Smile. And say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. See him? See that smile? Smile. Smile. Give thanks to God. Praise him. Right, Thomas? Yeah. Will you celebrate the light of mercy in your life? Be set free from your chains. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Receive the mercy of the Lord as you confess your sins. Receive his joy. Receive his grace to move in a new way. Be open to a new direction. Begin to do different things. Don't walk in the same old sin patterns. Ask him for the grace to begin to move in a new direction. He will give it to you, slow but sure. And like Thomas, smile. God has this. He had it a long time ago. And he's still trying to help us hear the message that you've been set free from sin and death. You've been set free from darkness and condemnation. You've been set free from self-hatred and the hatred of others. Through baptism, like Thomas, you've been set free to smile, to make noise in church, to be filled with the joy and the mercy and the love of God. Amen.